Welcome to Tech Talk with Optimal Rx. My name is Kristen Gilmore. I'm here with Julianne Grant, and we are ready to talk herbal medicine.
Kristen and I are both practicing naturopaths with 25 years experience between us. As big herb nerds, we are excited to explore all things phytotherapy and health with you.
Welcome everybody to our podcast episode today. Julianne and I are going to be chatting about mushrooms for healthy aging. And this topic really complements our last podcast interview that we had with naturopath Sandra Vallela. And in that one, we spoke in general about longevity and the role that herbal medicines can play in promoting a long health span. And so we thought today of having a bit of a closer look at medicinal mushrooms specifically in this healthy aging space. And we thought this would be a really useful and interesting avenue to explore. So let's get into it, Julianne. Medicinal mushrooms, they're definitely having a moment within our communities and in the zeitgeist, I guess. But, you know, why are we really focusing on them in this realm of healthy aging or this longevity sort of arena? Do you want to maybe start us off by giving us some traditional insights as to how medicinal mushrooms are viewed in regard to aging?
Yeah, I'd love to. And I think this is one of the areas where mushrooms actually really stand out for their longevity properties, or even in ancient tests, we probably see them more as health promoting, tonifying kind of medicinal mushrooms. And that's where they really stand out. And their history through the texts and through research is actually really cool. And it's something that you could spend a great deal of time looking into and having an understanding of it with regard to their importance and how cherished and valued they were in so many traditional systems of medicine. So really, we've seen for millennia that medicinal mushrooms have been recorded in these different systems and different cultures. And that actually includes our Australian Aboriginal culture too. There's not a great deal on that. I did look into that a little while back, but it's still fascinating that we do understand that there's been different medicinal mushroom species that Aboriginal cultures have used, normally in healing modalities. However, we also see that, like, if you look at traditional Chinese medicine, for instance, who really do revere many different medicinal mushroom species, and they're recorded in one of the most popular traditional texts for TCM, the Divine Farmers Materia Medica, which is written about 2,000 years or so ago. And one of the most prized medicinal mushrooms was reishi. And it was more so revered as that tonic herb. And it was really employed by those in power, or those in money, or those in status. And it was held for their use. And it was because it was believed to promote longevity and to have a lighter body. It's so cool to see the rituals that were utilized in those early years in traditional medicine. But some of the really interesting areas of traditional medicine where we see is even just those that were found on bodies that were mummified. So some really interesting examples of medicinal mushroom use. So there's one, the Iceman, Otzi, who lived 5,300 years ago, carried particular medicinal mushrooms on them, tethered in this pouch, basically to help them survive, or help him survive, in the Alps of northern Italy. So again, when you're looking at something, that's just one of those tonifying, health-promoting mushrooms or medicines that you carry with you whilst you're going through one of the probably most physical and emotional and mental toughest part of your life, going through the Alps in northern Italy, so to speak. But we also see in another, the world's oldest human mummy, which dates back 4,000 years ago. They found different species of medicinal mushrooms in their medicine box too. So it's not just a cure-all with regards to an infection or anything in regards to that. It's very much thought to be that tonic for life, to help promote life and to reduce the impacts of early aging. And we could go into all the rituals and different religious rites with regards to medicinal mushrooms too, but the real standout for me is that how they were cherished for their ability to promote all aspects of health, to promote energy, to tonify all organs, and to improve their health and well-being going forward. So basically a longevity medicine, which I love. And so interestingly now, we've seen a really great prospective cohort study, which was only which was only put out, sorry, last year in 2022, which was a study of just over 13,000 elderly Chinese adults. And I think they were 65 years and older. And it basically had an association for those adults that consumed mushrooms regularly, as well as algae, by the way. It was mushrooms and algae put together. But they had a 14% lower risk of death of all-cause mortality. That's huge. That is huge. So that traditional thought around the use of medicinal mushrooms in longevity is being shown in clinical research now. And I think it's fascinating. And you're going to hopefully enlighten me a little bit more here, Kristen, on why is that so? Like, why do we know that medicinal mushrooms really do have their own place in longevity medicine?
I just love listening to all of that, Julianne, because I think when the therapeutic uses of a medicine, you know, have this through line, have this, you know, consistency across different traditional cultures, it just so underscores that, you know, the value of that particular use or that particular perspective or action. So having, you know, as you've just mentioned, having so many cultures consider medicinal mushrooms as these elite therapeutics to promote a long and healthy life, you know, so much so that they're reserved for the royalty and the nobility, as you mentioned, you know, it just says so much. And so many different cultures, you know, I love hearing about the Iceman and, you know, even looking back to ancient Egypt and ancient Greece, you know, mushrooms were these immortality plants and, you know, the food of the gods. So I really, it blows my mind when I listen to all that sort of stuff. And even just, you mentioned reishi as well. And we know that, you know, one of the common names or, you know, when we say common names of plants, they're almost like their nicknames, you know, not their Latin names, but what we come to know them as, you know, one of the nicknames of reishi, so Ganoderma lucidum, is the mushroom of immortality. So, you know, it really should give us some direction as to these mushrooms benefiting our lifespan and our health span. And you're right, you know, our scientific sort of modern understanding really does complement this and demonstrates their use. And so I think because medicinal mushrooms have this general structure and makeup across the fungi, so, you know, within their cell wall, they, you know, they have these beta glucans. They're all rich in polysaccharides. They, you know, have these triterpenoid and phenolic compounds and so on. So all medicinal mushrooms have some consistent sort of structure to them. And because of this, we see within research that they have these overlapping qualities or actions between them. And, you know, when we look at these overlapping qualities, we think, of course, these actions are going to help to promote health across the lifespan. So, for example, medicinal mushrooms are all immunomodulating in some way. You know, they all beneficially influence or regulate our immune systems. They essentially are all inflammation modulating as well. And that's, you know, commonly due to that polysaccharide content. They also all modulate and regulate our gastrointestinal microbiota. And that we know, you know, we could talk about that for ages. That's so important to our overall health. And again, it's, you know, looking at this polysaccharide rich nature of the mushrooms, the phenol rich nature. And we know that dysbiosis, when there is this imbalance of the microbiota, can cause all sorts of issues and accelerate our biological aging. So being able to balance that and make sure that our gastrointestinal system is communicating appropriately with other organs and systems in the body is so beneficial. We know that medicinal mushrooms, as you mentioned, Julianne, they all act as tonics. They were considered to be tonics, or perhaps in our Western vernacular, adaptogens. You know, so they help us to better adapt to stresses and improve our long-term health. You know, tonics are generally utilized over longer periods of time and have these cumulative effects. So, you know, our mushroom adaptogens will give us these, I guess, anti-stress qualities that help provide this stabilizing effect on our neuroendocrine system and particularly our hypothalamic, pituitary, adrenal sort of axis, and also on our immune system. And, you know, this balancing and this ability to adapt to what life is throwing at us over the years, of course, is going to keep us malleable and adaptable and, you know, useful in the way that we're dealing with things. And the other sort of side to that as well is our mushrooms can help balance out the oxidative stress burden that we get sort of put upon us, you know, just by living in the world and experiencing life and physiological function, because they all tend to have these significant antioxidant properties, you know, some more so than others, but that's definitely part of their sort of makeup. And, you know, because of sort of all of these intertwining actions, medicinal mushrooms also do all of them tend to have some organ protective activity. So some ability to protect and often restore compromised organ function. And we know that, you know, as we age, particularly certain organs and systems more quickly may deteriorate in terms of function and structure, you know, over our lifespan. And so when we're thinking of promoting health as we age, you know, within our patients and in ourselves, and we're looking at medicinal mushrooms and thinking about using them as therapeutics for this, it really does come back. You know, we've said this so many times, Julianne, it comes back to the individual sort of differences that we do see and the nuances of each mushroom that are going to be the main factors in working out which one do we prescribe or which combination do we prescribe that is going to be most suited to the individual patient's picture and, you know, give them the most benefit, because they're all going to have some of these, this overlapping effect, which is why, you know, they were traditionally so valued and they stand out so much in this space. But when we think about the differences and this area of health span, you know, promoting health span, we're probably looking at some of those significant comorbid conditions of aging, seeing which ones are sort of showing up in our patients as needing to be supported, and then which mushrooms would sort of balance that out. And so one area that is very, I guess, very important for us to support and to look at in our patients is cognition. You know, that's something that definitely can deteriorate as we age. And there are a couple of medicinal mushrooms that I feel really stand out as therapeutics for cognition. But I would say our joint favorite, I know you're going to agree with me, would have to be lion's mane. So Heraceum erinaceus. This is just the medicinal mushroom for nervous system health, repair and function. And I know you and I, when we're talking about using it in clinic, we've just seen fantastic results using lion's mane. Other practitioners, when we speak to them or when they communicate with us via tech support, you know, they've seen fantastic results across all these different aspects of nervous system health. And using lion's mane, even on its own as a simple, is really, really effective. Or if we're using it as part of a targeted formula for improving cognition, you know, at any age, really, there's no too early with coming in with lion's mane if you want to support cognition. So you can kind of use lion's mane in a few different ways. You can use it as a cognition enhancer, so a nootropic. And we've seen that effect not only within our patients, but in clinical trials, it's shown to be effective as a nootropic. You can also use it as a neuroprotective, so really to protect the nervous system from damage. And again, we've seen this activity within the research, more so in mechanistic studies, because that's how you sort of determine the level of damage within, you know, nerves and things like that. And it really is super potent in that regard as well, in actually protecting the nervous system. It's so potent that it's also not just protective, but it's also considered to be neuroregenerative. Another word for that would be neurotrophic, meaning that, you know, it can be used to repair and restore nerves that are already damaged. And that's phenomenal. That means it's not only never too early to use lion's mane, it's also never too late. And, you know, and when we're thinking about protecting our nerves from damage or restoring our nervous system, you know, from damage. That damage can come from all different things. So the damage could come from something like an immune assault. So if you, you know, you think about autoimmune conditions, which are quite prevalent, and especially as we age, conditions like multiple sclerosis, that could be something that could be damaging the nervous system. Or it could be mechanical damage, so injury or trauma, or from an infection perhaps that damages nerve tissue, you know, something like neuroborreliosis or, you know, something like that. And, you know, it could, the damage could also come from neurodegeneration, of course. And so that's really what's occurring in dementias like Alzheimer's disease. And I would probably say that lion's mane is most primarily utilized for neurodegenerative conditions, which we know are commonly associated with aging. So it's just phenomenal. And we do have even evidence that, you know, scientific evidence that supports the use of lion's mane within the Alzheimer's disease domain. So there are Alzheimer's disease animal model experiments that show benefit. And there's even a pilot study in humans that shows significant benefit using lion's mane. So it's so good. You know, we really could talk about lion's mane for ages. But the thing that I like to remember and remind myself about with lion's mane is that one of the ways that it works is that it's been shown to actually stimulate nerve growth factor synthesis, so enhance neurite outgrowth and increase our cholinergic neuronal activity. And so because of this, lion's mane can actually help us create new neural pathways, new neural networks. And really that is helping to keep our brain useful. And so this is really exceptional. And we see that the bioactive constituents, some of the constituents present in lion's mane, like the carotenoids and the eranacines, I think is how you pronounce them, you know, they've actually been shown to cross the blood-brain barrier. So they can exert their benefits directly. And so, you know, we can see from the research, from how lion's mane is used clinically, it can be prescribed to help us as we age, you know, aging patients, not just improve our cognition, although it's very potent in that area, but also, you know, help improve mood, looking at helping patients form new habits, which is really important as we age as well. And, you know, I can't go past lion's mane. And so I'll stop there. But I think the other medicinal mushroom that's also worth a mention would be tremella. So tremella fusiformis. And, you know, tremella is also one of those highly regarded longevity tonics in traditional Chinese medicine. It's been described as a fountain of youth medicine, which, you know, or a beauty mushroom, you know, who wouldn't want that? But that's because it's really nourishing. It's very moistening to the body. And it's very tonifying. So it's commonly employed to treat conditions associated with aging, and particularly looking at aging of the skin, aging of the immune system, and aging of the nervous system. So cognitive decline, dementia, neurodegeneration, tremella is also really phenomenal. So for cognition, I would say they're the ones that really do jump out at us as being super potent and worthwhile including if you're looking to support that aspect of aging. But then, you know, there are so many other areas that we really want to look at and support in terms of improving our health as we age. And one significant area would be our cardiometabolic health. And so, Julianne, I might throw over to you and, you know, are there any particular mushrooms that stand out to you in this area?
Yeah, there really is. I'm going to just jump back in on lion's mane for a second because how could I not? But I think you made a really good point with the neurotrophic activities and the particular constituents that occur within or are developed made within lion's mane and what they actually are. And this opens up a literal can of worms with regards to the type of extraction that you're purchasing or you're prescribing for your patients. But they're actually diterpenoids, those haricinones and eranacines. They're always a mouthful, aren't they? So that means that they're not necessarily going to be extracted in high quantities in water. So we're looking at a mixed hydroethanolic kind of extraction. Even if you're prescribing in powder form, it's worth asking the company that's developing that particular product how they're actually extracting their their constituents from their mushrooms. So I'm just going to jump off my soapbox right now, Kristen, and get back to the cardiometabolic.
It's a very good point. It's, you know, you if you're expecting those kind of benefits and then you're not seeing those benefits when you're prescribing your medicinal mushroom, it is definitely worthwhile looking into the manufacturing process.
Yeah, and like I said, it is a can of worms because it's important to understand, like so many plant medicine extraction processes are, but I think medicinal mushrooms have been just so endowed with their polysaccharides, and that's the most important constituent that we need. Now, so many of those overlapping qualities that you mentioned before that medicinal mushrooms do have is primarily due to their polysaccharides. That's why they're overlapping, right? Or their beta-glucans and proteoglycans and all of those that they do contain. But their nuances tend to be due to their other phenolics or triterpenoids or other kind of constituents as well, or even the type of beta-glucan that's found in that medicinal mushroom. So it is... I think the more you understand individual medicinal mushrooms, then you can understand what's the best product or how they work for that particular patient. But literally I took a slow step off that soapbox, didn't I? But now I'm back down into cardiometabolic, and let's sort of have a look at some medicinal mushrooms that kind of stand out in that arena. And I won't talk too much about it because for these particular ones, they do overlap. A lot of the qualities that we find with medicinal mushrooms in the cardiometabolic arena are due to their beta-glucans or their polysaccharide content, right? So there is a lot of overlapping, but a couple do stand out. So if we're looking primarily at cardiovascular health, then we'll have a good look at reishi, Ganoderma, which you mentioned earlier. And that's a beautiful cardioprotective medicinal mushroom for chronic disease. So coronary heart disease, atherosclerosis, diabetic cardiomyopathy. So this is where that cardiometabolic crosses over. Elevated cholesterol or lipids, and hypertension. And the great thing is we do have clinical trials around the use of reishi in different cardiovascular disorders, such as atherosclerosis and even in hypertensive patients. So, and we get to see, particularly there's one placebo-controlled clinical trial of hypertensive patients where there was an observation of a reduction in many symptoms that accompany hypertension. So not just a reduction in the actual hypertension itself, but also in the symptoms that they're producing. So dizziness, headache, chest tightness, and even insomnia. So in that reishi treated group compared to placebo, we're seeing that reishi can be really beneficial and really helpful for those particular patients suffering high blood pressure. But I just love reishi for any chronic disease. It's a little bit like shiitake, and you could utilize shiitake in this way as well. But reishi just kind of stands out as that cardioprotective phytomedicine, and it crosses over many of the pathological states that can contribute to cardiovascular disease. So that might be poor glycemic control, not even into diabetes, but, you know, hyperglycemic states or poor insulin sensitivity. It will help manage that. It's a wonderful immunomodulator. So if we have excess inflammation or immune dysreg, then reishi will stand out there too. Again, another microbiome modulator. And as well as protecting the heart, it also works to protect the liver, the kidneys, the nervous system, everything that entwines with the cardiovascular system. Reishi will learn to help to balance and nourish and repair if needs. And like I said, you can look at shiitake too. You can look at maitake. Maitake's got some really great research around hypertension. So I often think for maitake is a key that if there's a metabolic disturbance alongside hypertension, then for that patient, my medicinal mushroom of choice is most likely going to be maitake. We see great research around hypertension for maitake, so it lowers those elevated blood pressure levels, but it also has some great research around metabolic disturbance. So whether that's diabetes or poor liver health, fatty liver, all of those sorts of conditions that cross over with it. So maitake sort of stands out there too. But then, like we said, with metabolic health, all of the mushrooms cross over. But one mushroom that is quite interesting in that place, particularly as an anti-diabetic. So right when you're right in the throes of all of the metabolic imbalances, agaricus can actually be one of those great medicinal mushrooms that we can look to use. So agaricus has been shown both preclinically, so in animal trials, and also in human trials, to be a wonderful anti-diabetic phytomedicine. And it works in kind of all areas. So it's quite a potent antioxidant. And you were talking about that crossover for medicinal mushrooms before. And one of the reasons why they are so organ protective as a whole, and why they do cross over so many areas of health, is that they are really strong antioxidants, some, like you said, stronger than others, such as chaga, but they are also potent immune and inflammation modulators. So I think that's where they cross over a lot too. So it's a great antioxidant, agaricus is. It balances dysglycemic states. We see it restore glucose homeostasis, and it improves those insulin sensitivity and insulin levels and that cellular glucose uptake. So it supports our insulin's ability to manage glucose in the body. Another key to agaricus, which separates it possibly from some of the other medicinal mushrooms that are used in metabolic health, is that it actually has been shown to restore pancreatic structure and function. So it's getting right to the cause of some of those damaging things that we've seen from dysglycemic states over time. And it's just so protective against organ damage. So again, when you're looking at metabolic syndrome or diabetes itself, the resultant impact that has on certain organs, such as ocular health, kidney health, liver health, agaricus can be really protective in that way. So I really think of agaricus for those particular people. And again, you could think of maitake, you could think of reishi, even lion's mane. If there was a diabetic neuropathy involved there, then perhaps lion's mane is what you're using also. So yeah, the cardiometabolic is a massive crossover for all of the medicinal mushrooms, but certain ones stand out. And I think once you slowly understand the little individual nuances, and you can find this just through Optimal Rx's website by looking at some of the tech sheets, downloading some of our tech sheets on those medicinal mushrooms, you'll be able to understand how you can pair them more with Western herbal medicine, but also how you can use them for the patient sitting in front of you too. And I mean, I think, Kristen, you and I probably are giving medicinal mushrooms to nearly every patient that walks through the door, right? That's a good. But one thing I did touch on then was the kidney health. And I think, you know, you've done some great presentations of recent times, Kristen, on chronic kidney disease, and I could listen to them forever because I find it so fascinating. But medicinal mushrooms with their organ protective and organ affinities, I think it's really worth knowing that as we age, the more we can protect our kidneys, the more we are supporting that healthy lifespan that you were just talking about. And so I do believe that medicinal mushrooms stand out for kidney health. Can you dive into ones that you love more so than others?
Of course I can. I think, you know, that's the way that you phrase that is really great because, you know, particularly in the traditional Chinese medicine paradigm, you know, supporting kidney health really does, it's about supporting our vitality and our life force and our, you know, our actual constitutional strength. And so we do know that our kidney function declines naturally as we age. So the rate that we're able to filter waste through the kidneys declines and, you know, our nephrons as they, you know, get sort of overburdened, they get damaged, they die off, you know, so on. So chronic kidney disease is actually super, super common. And you're right, I have spoken a lot about this recently, but in terms of medicinal mushrooms to address this, I've noticed that I keep talking about cordyceps. So Cordyceps militaris or Cordyceps sinensis. I keep talking about cordyceps in this space because I love how safe it is. I love that it's been successfully used in, you know, clinical trials in patients post-kidney transplant. I love that we have a Cochrane review that helps validate its use in chronic kidney disease patients. So I always talk about cordyceps. So I thought today, instead of, you know, continuing to harp on about cordyceps, I'm going to mention another medicinal mushroom that I think really also stands out for its ability to support kidney function, and that is Wolfoporia, so Poria coccus. And Wolfoporia is just, it's a finding that since we've had access to Wolfoporia as a single liquid extract medicinal mushroom, I am prescribing it more and more. And it's actually, it is the most commonly prescribed medicinal mushroom in traditional Chinese medicine. It's the second most prescribed plant medicine in medicinal, in traditional Chinese medicine. So it's really versatile. It's really useful. It's usually paired with other phytomedicines. I sort of do think of it as a little bit of a synergist, but it's just a wonderful calming heart and yin tonic. It removes dampness from the body. You know, it strengthens the spleen and our digestion. And it has been traditionally prescribed very commonly to tonify and to strengthen the kidneys. So this is what we really want as we, you know, move through our lives. We really want to make sure that we do have that strengthening and tonifying effect for our kidneys that are going to help to really bolster our vitality. And, you know, so this ability to protect and restore function to the kidneys is a strong traditional use, but it has also been reflected in modern preclinical research. There haven't been many clinical trials on Wolfoporia as a single medicinal mushroom, but you know, the preclinical research is really great. It's super interesting. It shows that Wolfoporia can really effectively protect against renal injury as well in a number of different study designs. So I really do think of it as a strengthening, tonifying medicinal mushroom for the kidneys. And I think because it's so widely prescribed and it is considered so safe, I mean, it's often prescribed for children, for the elderly. One of its kind of, pictures that it's indicated for is a bit of a frail constitution because it has that livening, bolstering sort of effect. So because it is so safe and so widely prescribed, it's actually included in so many different traditional Chinese medicine formulas. And one formula in particular, the Zen Wu decoction, I think it is, has been shown to be a really effective intervention for renal fibrosis. So it's definitely a medicinal mushroom to consider for patients to really protect their kidney function as they age. It's a great tonifying medicinal mushroom. And something that the way that I really like to kind of picture this is because it is this nervine and heart tonic, one of the ways it's described is that it quietens the heart and it calms the spirit. And it's really this calming nature of Wolfoporia that's thought to contribute to its longevity properties. It's kind of this bringing down inflammation, bringing down that overexcitability that's going to just burn out your organs, burn out your system. So Wolfoporia is a great one. There are a couple of others that I could mention. I mean, Zuling, Reishi, as you mentioned, even Chaga, they're all amazing medicinal mushrooms for kidney health. I mean, Zuling is an excellent diuretic nephroprotective mushroom. Reishi, as you mentioned, is nephroprotective, but it also comes in via that cardiovascular antihypertensive tonic angle as well. And chaga is just this potent antioxidant that is thought to really regenerate deteriorated organs. So there are so many you can choose from, but I think Wolfoporia is becoming a real favorite of mine. So just thought I'd give it a little airtime.
It is a beautiful medicinal mushroom, and I've always loved hearing how you speak about it. And you have used it more in clinic than I have, definitely. And you've always really enjoyed seeing the outcomes of that since we've been able to utilize it, like you said, as a single mushroom that we can combine with our other phytomedicines. It's really lovely to hear you speak of it, actually, particularly that calming. You think of that child that's a bit frail and anxious and things, that calming of the heart and calming them down. And it does carry over to fragility within the elderly as well. So the organ protecting potential of our medicinal mushrooms is extraordinary. And all aspects of aging, the medicinal mushrooms can touch on and can modulate and support. So that's what I love about them. They kind of do it in this, it's not necessarily a gentle manager, but it's not a gentle way, but it's not like a ginseng way where it's kind of a Korean ginseng kick. You know, it's, you just notice this wellness over time. The more you take the medicinal mushrooms, sort of the more you find yourself in this groove of feeling better. I'm having that little bit more energy, adapting to stress that little bit more, responding to infections in a more robust way. You know, these sorts of things that can really set you back as we age. I think medicinal mushrooms can do a really good job of supporting over time. And it is I think as practitioners, we are in a really blessed state. We have so many medicinal mushroom products on the market, and Optimal RX, you know, we have 11 individual medicinal mushroom extracts that practitioners can utilize. And I think it's so worth getting your head around what those medicinal mushrooms do and what sort of patient type they have a good affinity for, whether that's condition-based or organ-based, whatever your practitioner mind likes to absorb. You get all of that information from downloading the technical sheets on our Optimal Rx website. But Kristen and I also, early in the year, we did what we think was a really fantastic seminar with Dr. Lee Solshuler from the United States of America around the use of medicinal mushrooms. In particular, we spoke about being able to clinically separate the mushrooms and getting our heads around how we can utilize them as a simple, or how they can be used with other phytomedicines that we have on our Western medicine dispensary shelves. And we are very passionate about that, that our medicinal mushrooms in our clinic shelf, in our dispensary shelf, have become part of those mixes that we make for people. You can think of all the amazing things that we pair with lion's mane for cognition, for example, or neurodegenerative disorders. Everything that we pair for immune support, mushrooms don't have to be paired on their own for immune support. You know, we can mix them with so many wonderful Western herbal medicines that we do have in our shelves. And you can actually purchase that seminar, recorded seminar, if you need to. You can just contact Optimal Rx for that. But we have a look at our website. We have a lot of information around the individual uses of medicinal mushrooms. And I just think understanding them, understanding their potency and their power and where they sit for people, it's not just immune health. You know, like we've been talking about, they sit in all aspects of healthy aging or healthy lifespan. So embrace them and utilize them as best you can. So Kristen, this was a fun discussion because we could probably talk about medicinal mushrooms a lot. I take them every day.
I know.
Cohort study said I should. So that's good.
And they're fun to play around with too, in terms of, you know, what do you specifically need? You know, different family members of mine are all obsessed with their own specific medicinal mushroom that, you know, they have been included in a mix for them at some point and they really love, and it's not the same for all of them. And I just think that's so interesting, you know, the personalities of the mushrooms really coming to the fore. So it has been a really fun discussion. And I think, you know, thinking of them as being so useful over time, you know, that cumulative effect, that longevity, tonifying effect is just beautiful, and they are the best tonics.
And their safety profile reflects that as well. They're very safe. And if you're worried, you can have them as food. You know, there's so many ways you can enjoy medicinal mushrooms. We just like the potency of extracts, I suppose. But thank you once again for listening. We really do hope you enjoy learning a little bit more about medicinal mushrooms, and we strongly encourage you to have a look at the 11 different extracts you can purchase from Optimal Rx and start playing with them with your patients and seeing the amazing benefits that you will get.